All right, are you ready for part two of our Satan series? We are getting rid of Satan. How many think that might be a good idea to get rid of him? Last week, I had a matching t-shirt. Today, I don't. So I dressed up for you today. Not today, Satan. And last week, we looked at some different things that are involved in spiritual warfare. It is a big theme in the New Testament church. And I want to look, first of all, today at Ephesians 6:12 as we get started. Now, while I'm doing that, if you want to, in your Bible, look up 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll get there in just a few moments. But here's what Paul writes in Ephesians. He says, we are not fighting, this is going to help somebody, against flesh and blood. They're in your living room. It's not that person on the sofa. Okay, that's not the fight. That's not, you know, wherever you are today, I just want you to know that it's not flesh and blood. You think it's my boss, or it's my kids, or it's my neighbor, it's our HOA, it's, you know, it's something. But it's not, Paul says. It's not flesh and blood. What could be is there something behind it, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. How many know there's an unseen world? Against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Last week, we looked. If you weren't here last week, please go back and watch that, listen to it. Here's what we discovered last week. There is a devil. There is a devil. And we talked about that last week. We talked about what he does. He is attacking. He is prowling. He's looking for people that he can swallow up. So you are under attack, whether you know it or not. And the intensity of that may vary, but I assure you that the enemy has his sights on you, and mainly to destroy your faith. And so what we learned last week is that Satan attacks our mind. He attacks us in our mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. We saw that last week with Adam and Eve, how that it led to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind. So there's another option. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, there's another option. There's another option. Type it in the chat. There's another option. You don't have to end in death. It doesn't have to be destruction in your life or the enemy who's come to steal, kill, and to destroy. He says, if you'll let the Spirit control your mind, here's what it leads to. Life and peace. How many could use a little peace? Especially, you know, you use a little more peace in your life. Well, here's how it happens, is let the Spirit control your mind instead of allowing the enemy to move in, to come in the door. And so not only does he attack our mind, but here's what we learned last week, is the people that he attacked didn't know the Word of God. They didn't know God's word. And you need to know God's word. And here's what else happened because they didn't know God's word. They didn't know God. Because we get to know God through his word. And they also didn't know who they were. Because remember, Satan said to Eve, if you'll eat this of this tree, you'll be like God. She didn't realize, you are like God. You were created in his image already. So Satan is a liar. And so what happens is too many of us act like people who don't know God. It's quiet in here. I don't know where you are right now, but it's quiet in here, okay? Because here's what happens. We don't know who we are, and so then we act on earthly solutions. And when you're acting on earthly solutions, you won't get a heavenly response. You are a child of God, filled with the Spirit of God. And as we saw last week, you have the authority of God in your life. Jesus said, I've given you authority over the enemy. You have authority. Jesus showed us how to do this. And so if you forget who you are, you'll forget what you can do. Does that make sense? Yeah, I've watched a lot of football games. Anybody with me? Yeah, and I'm trying to, we need to call the church to prayer for the Colts, don't we? That's just intercessory prayer, just okay, maybe, I don't know if God's into football or not so much, but many of us are, and you watch these games, and I've seen this, maybe you've seen this, where this referee, he'll come out there, and there'll be some 350-pound mass of humanity all geared up, towering out there, and he'll come out there and say something to that guy who is dwarfing him. It's like David and Goliath. And he'll say something to that guy, and that guy will say something back. Have you ever seen that? And be like all mad and irritated and whatever, and maybe touch the ref. Have you ever seen that? How many know you don't touch the ref? You don't touch. You don't get physical. You do not touch the ref. And when that happens, I've seen this. There's this piece of cloth in this referee's back pocket, and he'll reach back there. How many know where this is going? He'll reach back there and get that piece of cloth and maybe even kind of wave it in that guy's face and throw it at him and signal to him. What's he signaling? That's right. Now, does that 350-pound man pick up the ref, bench press him over his head 10 or 12 times, and then throw him up in maybe row 11? No. You know what he does? He leaves. Is it because the ref is stronger? Is it because the ref has more power? No. He's not equipped as far as power. He's out there in a t-shirt and pants. He is not equipped for battle, it appears. But here's what he has. He has authority. And I want somebody to know today that it's not about your power against the power of a fallen archangel from the presence of God. It's not your power against Satan's power. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you have authority over the devil, right? You have authority over him. Somebody say, I've got legal rights. I've got legal, I've got papers. How many have papers? I have papers that show that I have legal rights. But here's what happens to many Christians is we get strongholds. And this is where we're going today. We get what the scriptures call strongholds that get us into trouble. I love what Max Lucado says about this, and we're going to read this before we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, what is that one weakness? Now, just be thinking about this for the next few moments. What's that one weakness, that bad habit, that rotten attitude that you have? Where does the devil have a stronghold on you? There's a word that fits, stronghold. Fortress, citadel, thick walls, tall gates. It's as if the devil has fenced in one negative attribute, one bad habit, one weakness, and constructed a rampart around it. You ain't touching this flaw, he defies to heaven. And he places himself squarely between God's help and your, and he says, now name it. Is it an attitude? Is it an addiction? Is it a hurt that you just can't get over? What stronghold is it in your life? Literally, I believe Satan sees to put strongholds. That's what he desires to do, and it can be in a lot of different places. So with that in mind, let's look at what Paul says about this. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, here's what he writes. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Paul says there are believers in bondage. You can be a believer. You can be a Christ follower, a Christian, whatever title you want to walk with. But here's what happens. Satan convinces you, he convinces me, you can't break that habit. You're never going to get over that. You know, that happened to you when you were 5, but at 95, you're still going to be dealing with it. You're still going to have that struggle. You're still going to have that in your life. And here's what I want to say to somebody today. Messed up thinking equals a messed up life. When you're thinking wrong thoughts, when you see it happened to Eve, and it can happen to us. When you get messed up in your thoughts, it will mess up your life. But here's what I want somebody to know. God will come into the middle of your mess, all right? And he will still mess in your mess, all right? He's going to do that, I believe, today. He's going to come into your life, and he's going to minister to you. Your mess doesn't offend God. And here's the thing, God doesn't just love the future you. Have you ever thought that? That God loves the future, he's really wishing I was here. No, I want you to know he loves the current you. He loves the current. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not my best self, he came for my worst self. How many are thankful for that? In your life, you're glad he came in spite of your the worst self that you are. So he comes where you are, but his intent is not to leave you there, because his intent is that you be free. His intent is that the bondages will be broken. And I want somebody to know that no matter how long you've dealt with that thing, how many years it's been, how it, you just can't seem to get over it, his grace is greater than your sin. It is. It's greater than your sin. So how do we tear down strongholds? How do we do this? There's a few things I think we need to change. Some of you, maybe you need to change your weapons. You need to change your weapons. You're going into this battle without the right pieces of equipment. You see, you can't fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons. I heard about a doctor, a computer genius, and a little boy and a pastor flying in a plane. And the pilot came running back in the plane. How many know that's not a good sign? And he yelled, the plane is on its way down, and we only have 4 parachutes, and there's 5 of us, and I'm out of here. And he jumped with a parachute. So the doctor said, well, I save lives all the time. I need to be out of here to save more lives. And he grabbed a parachute and he jumped out. The computer genius, he said, hey, I'm a brainiac. I am so sharp. No doubt, I will impress and influence humanity for the next several decades. I'm out of here. And he took a parachute and jumped. Left the little boy and the pastor. The pastor said, yes, son, I've been around a long time now, and I've lived a good life, and I know where I'm going, and so you can have the last parachute. And the little boy says, oh, Mr. Pastor, it's okay, because that computer genius just grabbed my backpack when he jumped out. How many know you better have the right equipment if you're going to fight the right battle? 2 Corinthians 10:3, that word that's used there, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Strategia is the word. It's talking about the right strategy. You got to have the right strategy in order to fight the enemy. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we just read it. Let me read it again. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient unto Christ. Notice that it comes up against the knowledge of God. We saw this last week, how that, you know, when Satan came against Eve, he didn't say, you know, Adam's tired of you. He's wanting to just be by himself. You need to move on with your life or whatever. He didn't come to her with other temptations or other ideas. He attacked the word of God in her life. He comes up against the knowledge of God, Paul says. So when the Bible says God is good, then why are you so negative? I'm telling you, it is quiet in here today, all right? That's all right. Why are you so negative? Well, I'm just being real, Craig. No, you're being real negative is what you're being. You know, the Bible says, be holy. So why are you looking at that stuff on your screen? Why are you laughing at those jokes? Why are you being vulgar and lustful? And by the way, you don't get rid of those things by resisting. You get rid of them by replacing. You have to replace it. Last week we learned this. You know, Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, unlike Eve, he didn't buy into what Satan said. He quoted the scripture right back to him. He says, no, that's not what the knowledge of God says. The knowledge of God says this. And when you keep quoting, think about this. If every time the devil comes at you and tempts you and tries to mess with you, if you wind up quoting scripture, oh, that reminds me of a scripture. And that reminded me of another scripture. Now, how many think the devil might get tired of that? Every time I attack this person, every time I put the squeeze on them, the word comes out. The scriptures come out of their life. The kingdom of God says, the knowledge of God says, that the love of money, we saw this a few weeks ago, is the root of all evil. So we say, well, greed, you have to go. So I'm not going to be like the rest of the world. I'm not going to get caught up in that. So offering time comes around and you say, well, I'm going to get rid of a bunch of this. I'm not going to let it control my life. I'm going to give it to God. And what happens is it breaks a stronghold of greed. I may have known that in your own life. You know, and for others of you, it may be self-loathing. You know, you look in the mirror, and, oh, I'm uglier than I was yesterday. I'm getting uglier by the day. You know, I'm so stupid. I'm so dumb. I'm such an idiot. I'm such a fool. I'll never be good enough. I'm not good enough for this job. I'm not good enough for my spouse. I'm not good enough for anybody. I don't even deserve to live. And what happens is you're building a stronghold in your life. A stronghold that I want you to know can be broken. It can be broken. It can be broken. Because here's what you got to do. You got to change your weapons. Don't try to fight it in the natural. But here's what else some of you need to change. You need to change your mind. You need to change your mind. And here's a word that the Bible uses. If you read the Bible, you'll come across this word. And maybe you don't know what it means. It's repentance. And repentance, you know, I grew up hearing this word, but it's actually, it's not what I grew up thinking it was. I thought it meant go to the altar, because that's what we did in our church. It is, you got to repent, so get your booty down here. Although they didn't say booty, okay, in the church I grew up in. But you get yourself down here and repent. And some of us would repent every week. Hello? You know, I might have forgotten even something I needed to repent about, so I better get down there and repent about it because Jesus is coming back and I want to be ready. But repentance, actually, it doesn't mean that. What it means is turn your mind. It's a mental term. And what it says is you need to change your mind. Metaneo is the word. You change your mind. And let me tell you, you'll never change your life until you change your mind. You got to change your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. I want somebody to know that by the time you leave this place, by the time you stop watching this broadcast today, you're going to be on your way to being a new person. Believe it. Believe it. It's possible by changing how? The way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So we don't lean on our own understanding. We don't try to battle it in ourselves. We don't try. See, this is where Eve messed up. She's going to outreason the devil. No, you don't outreason the devil. Jesus didn't even do that. Hello? And do you think you're Jesus? If you do, we'll have a class for you especially, all right? After service is over, a deliverance service. And so anyway, you're not as good as Jesus. And Jesus didn't try to outreason the devil. He fought against the devil with the word of God. He said, I've got to cover my mind with God's word. And here's the next thing some of you need to change, not just your mind, you need to change your mouth. You need to change your mouth. And how do we change our mouth? It's by worship. We put worship in our mouth. Because see, here's something I saw this week in the scripture, and I don't know if I ever really noticed this before this week, but it says that he comes up against the knowledge of God. In other words, the devil comes up against God in your life. He's still wanting to elevate himself. The scripture talks about how perhaps the angel Satan, Lucifer, tried to up himself in heaven and got cast out of heaven. And now he's still trying to do that, only he's trying to do it in your life. He's trying to steal the glory of God away from God. In your life, in my life. Anything that sets itself up, it says. And so Jesus said, when he says, hey, bow down to me and worship me, and then you'll get all this. And he says, you're not coming up against God in my life. I worship God only. Him only will I worship. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 in the ESV version. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. See, you got to change your weaponry. But what do? They have divine power to destroy strongholds. What has power? Not just you. Not just the power of positive thinking. Not just, devil, get away from me. Come on, get out of here. I don't want you anymore. Get out of my house. How long is that working for you? No, sometimes I think the more attention you give to it, the more the devil loves it. I'm getting so much attention around here. I love it. No, you don't do that. You don't find that in the scriptures. Listen, in the Old Testament, there are pictures of New Testament truths. And a king named Jehoshaphat was getting ready to fight a war in which he was ill-equipped. The enemy was greater than he was. See, that's the way it is with Satan. Our enemy is greater than we are. He's this created being. Demons have power. But we're not intimidated because we have authority. We have authority. But we also have weapons that the scripture just said have divine power. So I in myself am flesh and blood, but I've got a weapon. Come on, somebody. I've got a weapon that has divine power. One of those weapons that has divine power happens to be the scripture, the word of God. And we talked about that so much last week. But let me tell you about another powerful weapon is worship. And here's what Jehoshaphat said, we're going to go out here and fight the battle, and everybody line up, you soldiers, everybody line up and everything. Line up behind the choir. Because choir, you're out front. Now, wouldn't you be ready to quit the choir that day? I didn't sign up for this. But this scripture tells us this, that they went out and they sang about how great, how awesome God is. And I want someone to know this is how we fight our battles. We don't fight them in the flesh. We don't try to out-argue other people in our house. We don't try to come up against our boss and work around him or her and try to do something. We don't fight these battles in the flesh. We fight them with spiritual weapons that have divine power. See, and this explains something. This explains why you feel stronger when you're in here. Have you ever thought about that? How you come on Sunday morning. I know people say, I don't miss Sunday. I gotta have Sunday because of the week I have. Well, what are you saying? You're saying because of what I feel in this house. What I experience, when we get to singing songs, when we get to worshiping, and the presence of God is so real in the music, in the lyrics, in all of the atmosphere, because God inhabits the praise of his people. Let me tell you something, you better do that more than once a week. You need to do this more than once a week. We offer up worship as a part of our battle warfare. We go into battle realizing that it's not against flesh and blood. The psalmist knew this. Look at Psalm 149, verse 5. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God, now watch this, be in their throats and what? How many remember this from last week? 5? Boy, go back and watch it, all right, this week. And two-edged swords in their hands. Here's what we learned last week. This is the two-edged sword, right? The word of God. So here's what it says. We've got something in one hand and something in another. And we're not going out there defenseless. And how many know sometimes the attack is on your bed? Why is it at night that it gets more real? That the pressure, the anxiety, the fear, that the voices seem louder. And here's what the scripture says. When you're on your bed, that's what he says. When you're on your bed, you just get your hands full of weapons. You get the sword of God, and you don't have, I hope you don't even have to get it off the nightstand. I hope you have enough of it put up in your heart. I hope you're reading it so much and you're putting it in there over and over and over again that it's just like when the squeeze comes on, the word of God comes out. But not only that, but praise comes out. Devil, you woke me up at midnight looking at the clock. You'll never go back to sleep. You're so worried about your kids. You're so worried about your marriage. You're so worried about your finance. You better just stay up all night just worrying about that because it's, and what's going to happen tomorrow? And, I think it's getting worse, don't you? Hello? Is this touching anybody today? And he says things like that. Here's what the scripture says. When you're on your bed, thank you, Satan, for waking me up so I can just sit here and praise him right now. So I can just lift up a shout unto God. So I can start singing in my bed and bring his presence into this room. Thank you for the scriptures that say no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. The greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. Thank you, Satan, that you reminded me the greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you begin doing that, he'll say, go back to sleep. Right? Go back to sleep. I'm going next door. See, you better do more than just visitation on Sunday. You better build an altar of worship in your life every day. There's a story, another story in the Old Testament. I love these Old Testament stories. And there's one of idolatry. And this is a common theme. If you read the Old Testament with the people of Israel, they would come back to God. There'd be revival and everybody'd be great and worshiping God. And then next thing you know, they drift. I know you've never drifted away from God, okay? But back in ancient times, people used to drift from God. Can you imagine? And they would drift, and they'd get into idolatry. They'd start paying more attention to other things in their life other than God in their life. And as they would drift, then God would try to call the people back. And at one point in time, they started trusting Baal, or Baal, as some people pronounce it, for rain. God had been their God of rain. God had been their ultimate God, but now they're trusting in Baal or Baal, and they're trusting in gods of fruitfulness to help them to prosper. And instead of being blessed, they're more desperate than ever. Because how many know the gods of this world will always let you down? They'll always let you down. And in this atmosphere, I want to read this passage, Judges chapter 6, verse 25, here's what the Spirit of the Lord said. That night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bull, and this is Gideon. Now, this is before all the big stuff that you heard about if you grew up in Sunday school, okay? This is before all that. And he says, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal or Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and which is another emblem of worship, pagan worship, and build an altar to the Lord your God. And notice how you build it. Build it on top of the what? I can't hear you. Yeah. Build it on top of the stronghold here, with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as the burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. Another word for that is uproot it. Uproot whatever stronghold is in your life today. What is it? Have you named it? Have you got it? Whatever it is. He says, uproot it, and if it's bitterness, if it's envy, if it's greed, if it's anger or rage that's uncontrolled, maybe it's a comparison of yourself to other people or who you would like yourself to be, but whatever it is, it's that spot that nothing else will get out. Nothing can seem to remove that spot. And sometimes it's not just because it's holding on to you. You're holding on to it. I kind of like my stronghold. I've grown accustomed to my stronghold. I've been an offended person for years. I wouldn't know how to be other than an offended person. I've been an angry person. Matter of fact, I learned it from my dad. And he learned it from his. That's just something we do. You know, I've had this perversion for years. I've tried to get rid of it. I'm just going to have to learn to live with it. See, that's a stronghold. And God wants to visit the stronghold today. And here's what he says. He says, uproot it and build an altar on top of it. See, that's what you can do by coming here today, by tuning in today. I want somebody to put an altar on top of that stronghold. How do you put an altar on top of it? Altar is another word for worship. They would bring their sacrifice. They would bring their worship to God. And God says to the people, I want you to identify the stronghold, uproot it, and build worship on top of it. Somebody here today, you need to start building worship on top of that bad habit, on top of that affliction, on top of that negativity, on top of that spirit that says you're going to be fearful the rest of your life. No, I'm about to worship my way through this warfare. I'm about to worship my way in this battle. I'm about to worship my way out of this. I'm about to come out of this with God. I'm declaring his goodness, his greatness. See what happens when you do that? When you do that, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. And what do we read? You better get the mind of the Spirit. You got to get the Spirit's presence. Well, I don't know anything that brings his presence any more than the Bible, the Word of God, and worship. So how you doing on those? I'm not talking about this morning. I'm talking about all the time. I'm talking about people of the Word, people of worship, people who build an altar over the strongholds in their life. And let me tell you something. When you do that, God visits the stronghold. And God's about to break down strongholds here today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're greater than our battles, than our enemy. And if we'll send the choir out ahead of us, so to speak, we can win the victory instead of fighting that battle on our own. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Craig, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes my mouth gets me in trouble. I start agreeing with the devil. I start talking about how bad it is, how negative, how terrible. Boy, if I had just married the right person, or if I could just get a good date, and then life would be great. If my money wouldn't end before the month ends. If I wouldn't tithe, maybe I'd be better off. All kinds of things that can come into our minds. Maybe you've had that. Maybe the enemy's told you, you're going to always have this weakness. You're going to always have this. I want to let you know today that according to the Word of God, no, you don't. You can break that stronghold today. So if you're saying, Craig, I want to fight my battles God's way this week. I want the Word and worship to be alive in my life this week. I commit myself all over again to God's Word and to the worship of God so that I can fight my battles the way God wants me to. How many are here and you'll raise a hand and say, yeah, that's me. I'm going to fight my battles with God this week. Yeah, hands all over this room, there at home, wherever you are. Just stretch your hand toward the screen right now. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help every person. I don't care if it's cancer, if it's a marriage that looks like it's going to end this week, or if it's someone who even feels like they just might as well end their life this week, God, I speak to that stronghold today. And on the authority of your word, greater are you that's in us than he that's in the world. And so, God, we build an altar of worship over that stronghold right now. And we declare the greatness of God over our problem, over our challenge, over our difficulty, over our stronghold in Jesus' name. While we're still praying, there may be others that are either watching or here in this room, and maybe your stronghold is just letting go of your life to God. Some of us, that's kind of the preeminent stronghold that we have, is that, you know, I'm just going to run my own life. I'm going to make my own choices and decisions. And here's what that is. That's idolatry. Because we're saying, I'm God. And God says, no, I'm God. And beside me, there is no other. And maybe that explains why your life's so hard. Maybe it's why it's so challenging. Maybe it's why there's so much darkness in your life, is because you're trying to do it on your own. Today, I want to encourage you to call out to God. The scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't make any difference how bad you've been, how much you've done. Whoever calls will be saved. So if you want to call today unto God and allow God to come into your life, I believe that he wants to. Will you just raise your hand if you're in this room and say, yeah, that's me. I need to call on him today. I'm calling. And at home or wherever you are, just type decided in the chat, and we will reach back out to you in prayer and believe God with you. That God's going to come into your life right now. Pray this prayer after me. Everybody pray it. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to pay for my sin. As much as I know how, I commit my life to you. I ask you to wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of all my sin. From this point forward, I want to serve you only. And I thank you for coming into my life and changing it today by making me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.